This is Mark Williams, broadcasting to you from Cambridgeshire in the UK. Now, this week, we're going to think about the Internet of Things on shipping and digitalization, the twin of decarbonization. If we're going to manage the efficiency of ships better in the future, then we need better data on how ships are performing. And that means sticking sensors all over vessels and then getting that data back to the master and also to the onshore managers, the technical managers in particular. But how do we get that data around the vessel? Steel structures, bulkheads, and other obstacles to Wi-Fi signals mean that you've either got to have lots of different cables trailing around a vessel in addition to those that are already there, or you've got to come up with some other solution. So to talk about these challenges and a particular solution, my guest today is Dan Slater, Vice President of Sales and Business Development at a company called ScanReach, which provides wireless connectivity and Internet of Things solutions to the shipping industry. Dan's got 25 years experience in the IT business and has spent the last 10 years working in IT and maritime. He joined ScanReach as he thought that their particular wireless platform designed specifically for steel environments would be a winner. So let's see if his opinion is right. He's held senior positions within the industry at companies like i4insight, Green Steam, and Eniram, and has lots of experience in vessel connectivity, emissions monitoring, and fleet optimization. Dan has a BSc in applied chemistry from Cardiff University and lives in England. So let's go over and listen to what he has to tell us. Dan, welcome to the podcast. Great to have you on.
Yeah, thank you, Mark. Appreciate you taking the time to invite me. Looking forward to it.
Well, we're grateful to you for making the time also. So before we get into the meat of the conversation, perhaps for those members of our audience who don't know you, perhaps you could introduce yourself and ScanReach.
Yeah, sure. Dan Slater. So I look after sales and business development within ScanReach. ScanReach, Norwegian tech company. We've been around now for 7 or so years, but we're famous for providing onboard wireless connectivity solutions and connectivity designed specifically to work in a steel environment. So it's designed to work within a ship's hull. And we are both sensor data agnostic as well. So we're in the business of moving data around the ship and presenting that to the end user, whether that's through the cloud, on-prem, or through APIs into other platforms.
Great, thank you. So we talk sometimes about the twin processes of decarbonization and digitalization. But in order to digitalize shipping activities, then the data needs to be moved around. And I guess that's where ScanReach comes in.
You're right. One goes hand in hand with the other. And I think in the modern world of shipping, there is a demand now to integrate many, many different systems. But there's also a demand as well to bring data together onto common platforms. And if we take really the shipping industry as a whole, and we take that whole number of vessels that are trading worldwide, we're contending with different technologies, different ages of vessels, and in different sectors of shipping where digitalization is at different stages of advancement. So very much it's about moving data, it's presenting data when it's needed from a customer's perspective. And it's very much having that right data available to really help drive with decarbonization. And we all appreciate at the moment the change in regulations, which shipping companies are having to work to. So very, very important in today's world.
So give us an idea of how it works. I mean, I live in an old house and, you know, we have a Wi-Fi router by the front door because that's where the telephone cable comes in.
Absolutely.
And we need sort of several Wi-Fi extenders dotted around the property in order to be able to do anything that we need to do these days.
Sure.
Is your product a bit like that? How does it work?
It's a Wi-Fi protocol. It's the sub-gigahertz sort of band, but it's very much optimized to give us a good balance of bandwidth, but also penetration through steel environments, so like through bulkheads, etc. So we have a gateway, which we set up on the vessel. We have a root node, which is almost the mother node where all this data flows to. And then we have a series of wireless nodes set around the vessel to give us optimum coverage to move data from wherever that needs to be. And we've got various domains that we work in there, Mark. So whether that's fuel consumption data, whether it's machinery monitoring, for instance, personal safety on board and location services, all of that data is able to move across our common network into our portal. And then, as I said, it can be presented then back to the customer wherever they want it. The network itself, when we hear Wi-Fi, we all make comparisons, I think, with the Wi-Fi system, as you say, that we use at home. So maybe we're used to having, you know, services where cameras get pixelated and we have issues with data transfer. But we've got redundancy built into the network. So the network will always find a path to get to the end user. We have fantastic latency. We can't currently do broadband applications, so we can't move video or audio data. That will come in the future. But we can move high-frequency, standard sort of vessel data, so fuel consumption data, as I said, vibration data, all of these sorts of things, location data, can all be moved seamlessly around the vessel in real time.
The master of a vessel's been able to report his fuel consumption for years, and you know, used to go out on the noon report, and now there are kind of live feeds going back to the technical managers and then being passed on to charterers. Particularly with the advent of emission reporting systems, which are really fuel reporting systems, aren't they? Because they multiply the fuel consumption by a coefficient to come up with the emissions.
Correct.
And what enhancements come from the kind of product that ScanReach is offering?
So it's twofold. So what you find, Mark, really in the industry at the moment, and you're right, you know, there's the noon reported data, but obviously there's a drive now, especially with the emissions reporting, as you quite rightly said, to have better quality data. So a noon report is really one moment in time, quite subjective, manually calculated, and typically that's all that the charterer will have available. I guess secondly, and perhaps more importantly as well, it's very dependent on the technology on the vessel. So we have to bear in mind that with a number of vessels designed for service lives of maybe 30, 35 years, that digitalization is quite a huge step forward to get that vessel digital ready. So if we look at the fuel systems, for instance, it's quite common on vessels to find analog fuel reporting systems. So these are flow meters that are sat on the fuel lines that actually can't be used for anything. They're not connected in any shape or form to a digital network. So we can come in, we can replace flow meters if they need replacing to digitalized flow meters. But more importantly, you don't need to cable down to those flow meters. We can move that consumption data wirelessly around the vessel. And that has huge benefits for an owner, for an operator. It's a very, very quick process. It can be installed by the crew themselves as the vessel's in service, so no downtime. But more importantly, it makes it cost effective to do so. So you can take that data and move it wirelessly. There's no running of cables, big long cable runs. We all know how long, expensive and time consuming that can take. So there's some definite advantages to what we're doing around fuel consumption. And of course, then, Mark, the data that's coming from that is real time high frequency data. So that's more useful for spotting trends, doing real-time analysis on fuel consumption, but also feeding VPO platforms as well, as you mentioned. So we do some work with Navtor, for instance, at the moment, providing fuel consumption data to their Navfleet platform.
I saw in the press that you were doing a project with Stolt Tankers.
Yes.
Was announced earlier this year. Can you tell us about that?
Yeah, of course. So Stolt are a very, very forward-looking company, and they are really quite interested in onboard wireless connectivity generally. So we have got a project underway with Stolt at the moment where we're looking at measuring vibrations on a couple of key pieces of machinery on board some vessels there. And we're also extending that now to look at gas analysis, gas monitoring in line with emissions reporting, but also for leak detection and things like that. So Stolt, very much forward thinking, as I said, and it's very much a project that's ongoing currently, but into the exciting areas, pushing our network into areas as well, sensors that are new to us that we're exploring with Stolt.
That gas leak sensor information sounds very interesting. You know, we have the dark fleet of tankers at the moment. There was the...
We do.
Was it the Andromeda Star that exploded about a year ago, which may have been a gas leak, which has never been sufficiently investigated, or the investigation's never been sufficiently reported.
No.
The safety aspects of particularly the oil and gas tanker fleet are coming into sharp focus at the moment, particularly with the rise of the dark fleet with attacks on vessels in the Red Sea area. So I imagine that that kind of combination of more sensors, more direct access to data, high-frequency live reporting of data is becoming a live issue for you.
Yeah, absolutely. And we're seeing this as well, Mark. If you look at the market, you know, everyone's aware now that we're getting towards the position of taking delivery of the first sort of ammonia-fueled vessel. So that's going to be two-stroke engines. Initially moving to four-stroke engines and then to other sort of applications on board. So ammonia, you know, a pretty nasty substance. So obviously, yes, there's leak detection systems going to be on board these vessels, but not in all areas. So again, this is a great way of supplementing, as you said, safety on board the vessel by putting wireless connectivity on board and putting sensors in areas that you wouldn't really put them in to start with. So whether that's in the crew quarters, other sorts of areas, as we know, ammonia only requires really low concentrations to cause fairly severe lung damage. So it's a topic we're heavily involved in. And you may also have seen in the media as well, we have systems installed on livestock vessels as well for livestock health for that reason, for detection of ammonia as well and gases on board the vessel. So, yeah, becoming a very, very important area.
Interesting. You mentioned about having detectors in crew areas. And earlier you mentioned at the start of our conversation, crew safety.
Yes.
And that just set off in my mind. I wear one of these Fitbits, you know, it's a smartwatch. It tells you about your heart rate and how much sleep you've had and how many steps you haven't done today. Is it that sort of thing when you're monitoring crew safety? You know, the crew's all got heart rate monitors on these days.
So effectively, yes, ScanReach started out life in the sort of crew safety area. So we've got a lot of installations, a big footprint in the wind servicing vessels, so CSOV, SOV vessels that are servicing wind turbines for walk-to-work vessels. So yeah, effectively, we provide a wearable. That wearable's there not to pry into your privacy, but it's purely there as a safety, if you like, service and reassurance to the crew. So we don't track cabins, for instance. We're not tracking how much time people are spending in the canteen, in the games room. It's not for that, not for that at all. But what it's there for is if there's a mustering situation on board the vessel, that process is then automated. The crew members are picked up because of the wearable they've got. We know if they've reported for a mustering. If they haven't, more importantly, we know then where they are located in the vessel so that we can help with emergency services or the crew on board are able to send people down and resources down to find them. We're also able to monitor then who's coming on and off the vessel, Mark, which in today's world is incredibly important. We know about cyber threats to vessels. Unfortunately, again, you know, the world we live in today, other threats that happen to vessels. So we're able to understand that the right people are on board the vessel and where they are. And then when technicians go to wind turbines to walk across the gangway onto a turbine, we've then got an automated system. So we know who's gone across that gangway and who's come back onto the vessel. So it really is a safety feature, if you like, and a safety benefit to the owner, to the crew managers, to have this this system on board. And we're seeing interest now into other segments of shipping as well. So in the tankers, there could be some interest in location there as well for fire risk. Same way on PCTC vessels as well, understanding where people are on vessels and making sure that they're safe as well. So yeah, big, important area for us moving forwards.
One of the banes of the modern lifestyle is that whenever we travel, we have to take all kinds of converters and charging cables with different jacks on them and have different systems. You know, I have a an Apple iPhone but a Microsoft computer, and they struggle to talk to each other and they have different chargers. In the world of digital technology for shipping, when there are so many different systems on board a vessel and there are now so many different competing software solutions, is there a global standard for how the sensors and the data and connectivity all fit together?
No, not really. So, of course, there's a number of different protocols. So if you take our network, you have different sensors sat on there. So whether sensors being wearables that the crew have on their wrist, or have around on the lanyard around their necks, whether it's a gas sensor, our system is able to communicate to most of those modern sort of standards. So whether it's Bluetooth, whether it's Modbus, etc., we can connect to those sensors. So we're sensor agnostic. The other end, we're not too concerned about data processing, as in giving insights and actions, because there's people, other companies exist in the market that are resourced to do that and do a better job of it than we do. But what we're able to do is aggregate that data, if you like, on a common platform and pass that into other platforms for that data to be analyzed. So you're right, there's multiple standards, Mark, but the standards that we're seeing in the areas that we're working in are your sort of standards that you would have for connectivity practice. But it's one of the drives of the market at the moment. It's trying to combine, and you've probably seen yourself, everybody's trying to monetize data at the moment. That's where it's seen as a business opportunity, quite rightly. Whereas we're just providing really the infrastructure to make sure that that data is contained, that it's transported in a safe way, that it's cyber secure, and it's presented then back to the customer in the format that they want it for how they want to use it.
So in essence, anyone can run any rail car on your railroad.
Correct, yes.
sort of data agnostic, yeah.
Absolutely, yeah. And we have to be, because even though we've got domains that we work in, like, as we said, location, fuel and everything else, the landscape on a vessel is forever changing. Standards are forever changing as well. So we want to be able to bring as many different data types, connect to as many different sensor types as we can, to be able to give better value to our customers. We don't want to limit our customers' expectations and imaginations.
It's all fascinating stuff. This twin process does require, I suppose, the hardware to facilitate all the data going from the sensors to the managers.
It does, yes.
So I imagine systems like yours are going to be more important for deployment across the fleet in time.
I think so, and I think there's a lot of interest in being able to layer wireless on board a vessel without having to provide cables to far points on a vessel, that it becomes economically quite attractive, but also we're able to scale easily. And more importantly, we're able to deploy very, very quickly. So it's a nice situation for a technical manager, for an owner to be in, that they can buy into these services and deploy very quickly. Some hardware on board vessels, as dry dock maybe, you have to have engineers traveling with the vessel. The costs become prohibitive. But with wireless connectivity, it's relatively low cost, very high value, but very, very quick to recognize the benefits.
Plugs into a standard socket.
Yeah, correct. Yes. And we've just released as well, Mark, again, it was in the press, and it doesn't sound, like it's a stellar step forward, but we've now got EX capabilities on our nodes, which means now we can start deploying, especially if you look at chemical tankers, LNG carriers, we can start now deploying into explosive rated areas because we've got that potential. So again, this opens up a whole new opportunity for both customers and for Ganrich.
Interesting. So that safety aspect again. So important these days, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Especially with the new fuels. You've mentioned ammonia already.
And then we've got hydrogen.
But, methanol comes with its own issues, as we all know about battery fires on battery-powered cars. So
exactly.
Safety around all these new propulsion technologies all requires constant monitoring.
Yeah, absolutely. And there's sort of initiatives underway, with organizations such as Safety Tech Accelerator, looking at cargo fire and loss initiatives in container vessels now. So it's becoming a very, very big subject about, you know, not reacting to a fire on board, but preventing a fire happening in the first place, or being able to act early and control that fire, especially when you've got EV on board, batteries, etc., you know, fireworks, fertilizers, all of these sorts of things that are very, very dangerous on board vessels.
Dan, it's been absolutely fascinating talking to you. Thank you for taking the time. If our listeners want to find out more, is there a website they can go to, or are you appearing at any trade shows in the near future? Or?
Myself and my colleague will be down at Posidonia in June. We'll be at SMM as well later on in the year, but it's www.scanreach.com for general information. And obviously, I'm on there, as are some of my colleagues. But yeah, please reach out to us. Any information you want, we've got white papers, etc., on the website. Feel free to look and download. Be exciting.
Super. Thank you so much.
Brilliant.
Brilliant. Thank you, Dan, for taking the time to talk to us today. Appreciate that. And thank you to everyone out there in listener land for tuning into this episode of the Ship Energy Podcast.
Brilliant.
And tune in next time for another conversation with another expert helping us on the way to net zero. For now, this is Mark Williams signing off from sunny Cambridgeshire in the UK. Bye for now.